Thanks very much. As they begin to move, I'll share with you a little bit of how we ended up at this place today with this message. Been about a year ago, staff, we were brainstorming, you know, what we wanted to do for this Sunday, and we do realize that there is often difficult news, and media has to often share that difficult news, but we also are aware that many of the persons that are in radio or print or television, that underneath their daily work, that they are faithful Christians, and that they also have opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So that's kind of what launched us to be where we are today, to invite the speakers we did. So I'll go ahead and invite, if all of you want to go ahead and come up and join me. So we began to brainstorm and began to ask some various folks to join us today. And so we have four gentlemen with us this morning who are here to not only talk about their industry a little bit, but also to talk about their faith. I think I'll begin on, I'll begin on this end with Jeff. Jeff Worrell is here. He's a resident of Carmel, and his home church is Our Lady Mount Carmel. He and his wife and two children have attended there. He began his career in Iowa State University, where he began to do some work with some preventative knee braces that led him into beginning his own business and then eventually launching a national buying cooperative called National Medical Alliance. And he's also very visible and involved in our community as he served for a couple years as the Chamber of Commerce president. He's been a part of Rotary, one of the leaders of Carmel Fest for a number of years, and has written for the Carmel Current, but most recently will continue to give back as a newly elected city council representative. So we have Jeff Worrell with us today. We also have Brad Huber on the other end, and Brad is actually a member here at Carmel United Methodist Church. A recent graduate of Ball State University. He began his career at Carmel High School, being a Carmel High School grad, serving in radio and announcing and with sports throughout his time there, and did the similar kinds of work when he was at Ball State. He currently is the production assistant at Fox 59 and CBS 4, and a sports broadcaster for the Indiana Sports Radio Network. Brad has also been involved here at the church with Ray Marsh in sports ministry as he helped to initiate our cross-country camp for youth, as well as participating in the basketball and football leagues here with youth, so a member of our own congregation. And then I introduce to you Vince Welch, who is, hey, you guys, you're both Ball State grads. Is that what you were just talking about? Did you know each other on campus?
We went to school at the same time.
I kind of figured that. Yes. I kind of thought that might be a good connection for you guys.
I hate to lie in church. That's a terrible thing.
It's a place.
Forgive me, please.
Vince lives here in Carmel with his wife, Trudy, and three children, and they are active at Carmel Lutheran Church. He's a broadcast veteran, started with Wish, and has received an Emmy in 1992, and he's a seasoned motorsports reporter as he began in 1996 as a pit reporter for the IMS Radio Network, and then joined Motorsports Television Broadcasting in 1999. He's also a supporter of ALS of Indiana and Sheltering Wings, so we're glad to also have Vince with us here today. And finally, Randy Aulis. Randy Aulis is here, and he is an active member, has been a deacon at Faith Church. He and his wife, and he has four girls. I was excited to see when I read through his information that he began his career at WDTN Dayton, which is what I was raised on. So that's great. He's been served in Wisconsin and Oklahoma City before he finally moved to Indianapolis, joined WISH-TV as a meteorologist. Randy, I'm sure, will share his passion and where he has volunteered throughout his time in church as he shares with us today. But let's give a round of applause, a welcome.
All right, gentlemen, are you ready? We're glad to have you here. Thanks for that warm welcome for our guests. I'm going to test some of your history knowledge here. How many of you know what a town crier is? Yes, the person that used to stand in the square and and unroll a scroll and say, hear ye, and talk about the news of the day in the community. We have criers, town criers, for their specific industry here to talk about what they do for a living and how the gospel is intertwined in with that. So let's get started. Let's start, Mr. Worrell, with you and just go across this way so there's no from right to left, my right to left, so there's no confusion about who needs to answer next. First question, can you tell us a specific moment in time when you knew, without a doubt, that you were called to be in broadcasting for your career?
No.
Or journalism?
For me, God had a very different plan than my plan, and that's been the case throughout my life. I sell medical equipment, and a couple, probably about 15 years ago, the city decided they were going to start a cable access channel, and they asked me if I would do a show for them called Connecting with Carmel. If you ever saw that, you know that I had no training, and I was the cure for insomnia at 2 o'clock in the morning. But we kept going, and that then gave me the opportunity to write for The Current. And that was a blessing from God, because the only, there were no rules, and so I decided I was going to make that an instrument of only telling good news. And that has been very rewarding.
Very good. Great start. Mr. Office.
Now, if I can just say something first of all here, you know, Vince is talking about he has won an Emmy. One Emmy, is that right, too, or whatever? You know, I've never won an Emmy. I've never been nominated for an Emmy.
You'll be all right. Keep working.
No, but
keep working.
I'm proud of this.
You're young.
I have won the cow milking contest 3 times at the state fair.
I've never won a cow milking contest, so you're ahead of me.
There you go. And I also won for one year here. I won the seed spinning contest too. So that's
well
what
done.
I have down in my resume
well
right
done.
There.
I can't believe she didn't mention that.
I know, it's amazing. So, anyway, in regards to, was there a time when I knew that I was going to go into broadcasting? I'll say this. I never thought for one second that I would be in broadcasting. I always say that there's 3 miracles. Number one, that I got into broadcasting. Number two, that I've survived 37 years in broadcasting. And the third miracle is that I'm still going in broadcasting. Came from a family who, not in broadcasting. I mean, Dad worked in a factory 40 plus years. Mom was into the was a cashier at a grocery store. But I do remember either in junior or senior high, I grew up in the Chicagoland area. And Harry Volkman, he was a weatherman on TV in the Chicagoland area, and he came out to our school one time. Whenever he would go to the schools and speak about weather, the schools would give him like a corsage, you know, or whatever, and then he'd wear this flower, and he'd go on the air that night and say, oh, I was out here at this school. But anyway, when I was watching him do his presentation about weather, I really felt like God put a seed in my heart. I accepted Christ at the age of 6 years old through child evangelism. Simple message. It was the teacher was talking about heaven and hell and said, you know, boys and girls, we're all sinners. If you want to go to heaven, you need to repent of your sins and invite Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Savior because he paid your sin debt. So at 6 years old, I went home, and I said, Mommy, I want to go to heaven. So my mother and I got down on our hands and knees, and I prayed to invite Christ into my life at the age of 6 years old. So I really believe since I got saved at such an early age, the Scriptures talks about how God puts those desires in our life, and the desire for me has always been weather. And at any rate, when this weatherman came out to our school speaking, I really think that God put a seed in my heart. Because I remember watching him and thinking, you know, Lord, what a great platform he has here. He gets to go out and talk to the kids about weather and, you know, it'd be a great opportunity to share your faith. And little did I know that seed was planted. And once I went through college, I ended up in broadcasting and had been doing it for 37 years. But I think that's when the seed was planted, when I watched him come out to our school and talk to us.
Wow. I can't imagine parents would want to hear anything more than their child coming home saying, I want to receive Jesus. Amen. That's great. Great story. Mr. Welch.
It's interesting. Jeff mentioned how God had a different plan, and then Randy talked about the seed being planted. And in a way, that certainly is, I can relate to that. As a kid, my plan was I was going to be a professional athlete in 3 different sports.
Welcome to that club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Believe it or not, that didn't work out. But as a young child, I remember, and I can remember this plain as day, laying on the living room floor in our home listening to Joe McConnell broadcast an Indiana Pacers game on the radio. Now, there are a lot of young people here that have no idea what that means, but if you're older, you can remember, you probably remember Joe McConnell broadcasting Pacer games on the radio. And it was a playoff game, and I think it was the Kentucky Colonels, which was the big rival. And I remember at the end of that game having such a feeling of joy in my heart, and having not, it's the first time I'd ever experienced that when I wasn't playing a sport. Yeah. And at the time, I didn't realize that that was the seed being planted. Mm-hmm. But years passed, and I began to understand, and I had never forgotten that moment for some reason, or that feeling for some reason. That had never left me. And as the opportunity presented itself, when I finally came to the reality I wasn't going to be a professional athlete in three sports, that the next closest thing to actually getting that juice of playing was broadcasting others playing. And that seed was planted at a very young age, even though I didn't realize it at the time. But it's amazing that how God works, and it came to fruition for me.
Wow, great answer. I think we all probably would agree that we don't understand oftentimes when it happens, when the calling happens. But looking back in retrospect, that was a very insightful answer for a lot of us. Brad?
Well, I guess my story is very similar to that of Vince's. You know, wanted to be around sports. I knew it wasn't really good enough to play the sports. So I guess the next best thing is to broadcast the sports. And one of my idols growing up was Don Fisher, listening to IU basketball games on the radio, and knew I wanted to do that. And so as time went on, and I kind of broadcast games on TV at home and probably annoyed a lot of people in doing that, but I knew I wanted to get involved with WHJE at Carmel and CHTV at Carmel, and fortunately I was able to do that, and that's kind of where my career started. So I guess, kind of like Vince, it kind of just grew over time.
Very good. Very good. All right, gentlemen, next question. What part of your job do you enjoy the most or the least, and why?
Same order?
Same order, sir.
All right. Well, let's see. I'll do least first.
Okay.
Deadlines. In the newspaper business, there is a deadline, and it is, and I guess in all businesses, there's a deadline, but the deadline was the worst. But what I'd rather talk about is what I love, and that is the people. For example, writing for The Current, one of my best sources was Reverend Napier. She would ring me up and say, I've got someone you need to talk to, like Marty Hurst, who runs the food pantry, or Susan Barrett, who does your Angel Tree program. I got to share those stories. You already know about those lovely, beautiful, giving, warm people. I got to share them with all of Carmel. That is a gift that I and a blessing from God. I'm grateful for it. It has enriched my life, and I hope it helped to enrich other people's lives in Carmel as well.
Name dropping in our community. Oh, that's great. Thanks, Jeff.
That's
more awesome. Yeah, there's a lot of people to name drop out here. That's for sure. Mr. Ellis.
Probably the worst thing for me is having to work with these sports guys down at the station.
I thought you were going to say predicting rain on race day was the worst part of
that's
your
tough
job.
Too. On race day, you always have to have at least a 5% chance of rain. We've learned the hard way about guaranteeing things here and there. So I think for me, really, the toughest thing is the hours. I've been at Channel 8 for just a little over 30 years now, and I'm only 39 years old. But anyway, just kidding, in a church, just kidding. Anyway, I have to, for many years, I had to get up at 2:20 to get into work for a morning show. Just during this past year, I now get to sleep until 3:30, which is great. I go to bed around 6:30, 7 o'clock every night. So it's tough doing that. It was good because of the kids. You know, I could have all of my evenings free to be home with them. And if I went to an event when the kids were home, I mean, I was half asleep, but at least I was there, you know. Whereas if I worked the evening shift, you'd never be able to go to your kids' events. So that's the toughest thing about, I think, my job. I think what I really enjoy about it is, you know, I'm a weather geek, and I've always loved weather. And for me, just the challenge of trying to get the forecast right, it's fun for me. Every storm is different. Every year is different. You know, I go around to schools and talk to kids, and I say, you know, kids, every child is different here, just like every snowflake is different. So for me, it's always a fun and a challenge in trying to get the forecast right. I tell the kids down at the station, you know, I say, you know, when I get the forecast right, I'm going to retire. And they always say, well, Mr. Ollis, I guess you'll be here till you're about 80 or 85 years old, you know. So a little joke there. But anyway, I enjoy also, too, I'm a people person, and I love coming out and speaking to various groups, coming here to your church, going to other churches, schools, you name it. I am blessed to have the job that I have.
Wow. Some great perspective. We're not going to complain about getting up at 6:30 or 7:30 anymore, are we? Yeah. Randy's day is about over with the kind of hours he's telling us about. Vince?
And for many years, I worked on the morning show at Wish with Randy, and I can tell you that the worst part isn't getting up at that hour. The worst part is trying to go to bed at 6:30 or 7 o'clock or being at a function at 7 p.m. and knowing, oh, my goodness, I need to be getting to bed sometime soon. So I can certainly relate to that. I spent 15 years broadcasting at ESPN, and this year I've moved over to Fox, and I broadcast auto racing for a living, and I travel 40 weeks a year. And every Thursday, for the most part, I go to the airport. And on Sunday night or early Monday morning, I come home. I have three children and a wife who's very understanding, so you can imagine how many cookouts she's been to solo. And for a long time, the most of our friends thought that she really didn't have a husband until I showed up one time. But when you're on the road that much over the weekends, your kids play soccer on the weekends. They play Little League on the – everything seems to revolve around the weekend. And it's been a – it's all I've ever done. It's all I've ever known. And it's all my family has ever known me to do. So we've certainly – they have grown up, and my wife has endured 25 years of marriage understanding that and being used to that. But – that's difficult, and I've missed a lot, and I'm blessed to have a job that I get to do what I want to do, but it's not without sacrifice, and a lot of times people will come up to me and say, man, you got the greatest job in the world, you know, you're at the race, you're broadcasting the race today, and I'm thinking, oh, my daughter's got a cross-country meet today, I'm not seeing, and so that's the worst part. The best part is that I broadcast games and races for a living. That's not such a bad deal. And I've seen some of the coolest events ever. I broadcast, and a lot of times people think because I work for ESPN or I now work for Fox that the national events are the biggest things. One of the greatest memories for me as a broadcaster was doing the radio broadcast of Damon Bailey's senior year at the Hoosier Dome in front of 40,000 fans. That will never happen again. I broadcast on television the last baseball game ever played at Busch Stadium, the very first baseball game ever played at Victory Field. I stood in Victory Lane at the Indy 500 with Dan Weldon while tears streamed down his face after winning that race, and then a few months later, I stood at Las Vegas Motor Speedway when he lost his life. There are so many highs and lows in our business, whether it's print or Randy covering a weather tragedy or a newscaster broadcasting some of the bad news that was talked about earlier. But there are also joys, and most of those joys I find within the people that I work with and the relationships that you have. Sports accomplishments are great in the sense that you have accomplished something, but to me, what I find most enjoyable about what I do are the relationships I have with the people I do it with.
As a sports guy, you just gave me a bunch of goosebumps. Some of the things you talked about. That's great. Thanks for some behind-the-scenes stuff. Brad?
Well, I guess the best part in, you know, being single, I like to travel. So it's great to see other parts of the state, other parts of the country, and doing games at different arenas. I've had the opportunity to do games at the Muncie Fieldhouse and Bankers Life Fieldhouse, the up in Fort Wayne, Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland, Victory Field, Lucas Oil Stadium. So I've had the opportunity to broadcast at all of those places, and that's kind of the cool part, is being able to travel and see different parts. Especially, I guess it's better at this age than it is, you know, when you start to settle down and have a family down the road. But you know, I guess one of the least favorite parts is I also do morning news work as a production assistant at Fox 59 and CBS 4. So kind of what they talked about, getting up at 3:15 in the morning and you know, working all those weird hours. But you know, it's good, and that allows me to be able to broadcast at night. And you know, we get very little sleep too, which is a part of our field too. It's you find sleep whenever you can get it, whether it's at 3 p.m. or at night. So you know, that's one of the downsides of our business as well.
Can I add one thing?
Yes, sir.
When years and years ago, I was just a part-time employee at Wish TV, and sports was all I had ever wanted to do and all I'd planned on doing. But a news reporter called in sick one day, and I was in there working, and they asked me to go out and cover a news story. And I had never done a news story on television before. I mean, this was very early in my career. And so I was like, sure, I'll do it. It was a Saturday. And then I found out it was a young woman had been killed, and I had to go out and do that story, and I had to go and knock on the door of the home, and the parents answered, and I sat at, I don't even know why they invited me in to do this, because as a parent I would not have done it, but I sat at the kitchen table with them, and they talked about the tragedy that had occurred in losing their daughter, and it was the most emotional thing for me I had ever experienced. And I went back and I did that story, and on Monday morning I went into the news director's office and I told him that I would never do that again, and that if that meant I never worked in television ever again, or if I never worked at that state, then so be it, but I was not going to do that. And I just ask that people, when you watch television and you see reporters covering those stories, have some understanding of how difficult it is for those reporters to report those stories. And so many times it just looks like a conveyor belt of reporting bad news, but that takes its toll on all of us as humans to watch it and hear about it and read about it, but also those that report it. And I think sometimes that's overlooked. Randy, I'm sure, sees that a lot more because he's in local news and he sees that on a daily basis. But it was something I'll never forget, and it was very difficult. And anytime I see a reporter out reporting on a tragic story, I always feel for the reporter some too, because I know that that's not easy.
That's great insight. Thanks, Vance, for sharing that. All right, guys, probably our last question for this morning, but probably the most important one. Please share with us an example of using the platform that your job gives you to share about the good news of Jesus Christ in the community that you serve.
Well, the good news comes very easy in Carmel because there is lots of it. But just having an experience like this, being invited to be on a panel with people and we're talking about our faith, that has happened to me more and more because of my exposure through the Current in Carmel. And I have a talk that I give called Nothing Bad Has Ever Happened to Me. And if you knew my earlier days where I made some very poor decisions and lost my father to cancer young and lost a business and had to start over in one day, all those kind of things, the reason I say that is because I know Jesus Christ, my faith, was strengthened because of him. He was with me every step of the way. I love being able to share that. And as bad things happen, without faith, without being able to have my faith carry me through and now be able to share what those experiences were like and why I'm so grateful that some things didn't go as planned, because it made me stronger, made me appreciate where I am today and why I still can wake up every morning and say, nothing bad has ever happened to me.
Amen. Thanks, Jeff. Great answer. Mr. Aulis?
You know, platform, I was at Wheaton College my freshman year, then I transferred over to Northern Illinois. I remember one evening we're all sitting in the dorm studying, a bunch of guys, and of course we're talking, what are you gonna do? What do you wanna be? What do you wanna be? And of course, you know, they're saying, how can you use this for the Lord? And this one guy said, I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to go into the mission field. Another guy, pastor, this and that. They came around to me, and I says, I want to be a weatherman. You know, just totally different from what the other, and Wheaton's a Christian school, and that's where a lot of, you know, pastors come out of and mission workers and stuff like that. But they kind of looked at me and said, how can you be a weatherman? How can you use that for the Lord? And I never forgot about that, but I really felt the calling to go into weather. I didn't know it would be broadcasting at the time for sure. But as I look back, God has really given me a fantastic platform. He really has. And, I have a chance to go into the schools, and, I go in and talk weather, and sometimes I'll kind of throw a little salt in there and share my faith a little bit here with the students without getting in trouble if I can do that. And I really enjoy doing that. Also, back in 89, I was fired at Wish TV. Remember that? I'm sure you remember that. Anyway, but I went back to work at Wish TV about 5 or 6 months later, and I'm convinced that God allowed that firing to happen early in my career because he gave me a miracle story. He taught me many things going through that, and he's given me a great platform because I have shared my story, my testimony about when I was fired and when I went back to Wish TV with many, many churches, Sunday morning or it may be a senior luncheon going on. So he's really given me a neat platform in order to share my story about how I lost my job and how I went back. And if I can say this too, let me just throw this in. You know, whatever God has called us to do, it doesn't matter. I mean, you can be in the secular media, the Christian media, whatever it is, no matter what you're doing in life, God wants us to share our faith. And a lot of times, I found through life, it's easy to share your faith and praise the Lord when you get good news in life. If you get a job promotion, a good health report or whatever, that's good. Well, everybody praises the Lord then. But I've learned and still learning that it's when we go through the rough times in life. I know that when I was fired at Wish TV, my spiritual gift is evangelism, and I could feel a lot of those eyes in the newsroom watching how I was going to respond, knowing that I was going to be leaving the TV station eventually in a few weeks here when after I got fired. So I just say that when I got fired, I could still sleep at night. I still had peace. I still had joy. And in a lot of the world, they don't have that. My security, I've always said this, is not in that paycheck at Wish TV, but my security is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So whether you're in the media or whatever God has called you to do, we're all going to go through trials, I guarantee. If you haven't gone through a trial, something's wrong. But anyway, we're going to go through trials. And I think how we respond is critical, and that is how the world can see a difference in our lives. And they don't have it, and they want it. And that gives us the opportunity to share our faith here if we respond the right way.
Preach. Good job. Good job.
Christ suffered and sacrificed and was punished unjustly, and he's the least deserving of all. So you can't expect us to have not gone through trials. And I agree, Randy. I think that, sometimes I find joy in the struggle because I know that if we didn't struggle, we'd never appreciate the glory. And we'd never appreciate the great times. And, I talked about being on the road a lot, and a lot of times when I'm on the road and I'm frustrated with being away and missing something, it allows me to also think about how great it's going to be when I do enjoy that time at home. And I think that this is a platform that we're blessed to have an opportunity to share and to share our faith. And, as a broadcaster, you can't preach over the air per se, but to me, to have the platform of sharing my faith with a friend in need, I've got a friend that's here that it chokes me up because I'm thinking about him and I'm trying not to look at him because I don't want to cry, but to be able to open the Bible and pray with them about something that they're struggling with, and it's not a broadcast platform, so to speak, but I think that interpersonal platform is the greatest one of all. And I heard Scott, I slipped into the back during the 8:30 service, and I heard Scott talk about the good news, and we're broadcasters were up here at the time, Randy and Brad were sitting up here, but in a sense, everyone that's sitting out there is a broadcaster because you can broadcast your faith in some way. And So.
Great. Brad? Before Brad answers, just let me say that during the time between 10:30 and 11 for the next service, most of these guys will be outside in the gathering place if you'd like to come up and approach them and talk to them a little bit more. Sorry, Brad. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. And, you know, who I work for, Indiana Sports Radio Network, I'm fortunate enough to kind of combine the broadcasting with the word of the Lord. And 24/7, if we don't broadcast, we are spreading God's word. And so it's able to combine both of those things. And we pray before broadcast, we pray before meetings, we pray before anything that we really do. So it's really kind of a ministry in itself to be able to broadcast sports. And being online radio, we have listeners from several different continents, countries, states, and so they're all getting that. And so that's one cool thing that we get to do is kind of spread the word and also do what we love to do also and do our passion of sports broadcasting and spread all of that with everybody around the world being an online radio station.
Can we give a round of applause for our guest today?
Guys, why don't you go?
I can tell you as we planned this service starting a long time ago, we've had our share of ups and downs, and we had several who were supposed to be here who couldn't be here for various reasons, and there were moments of discouragement for sure. I sent an email last week saying we had more bad news about Good News Sunday coming up, and yet I think God clearly had these four guys for us today, and I know that I've been encouraged, and hopefully you have as well. I want to finish this morning by reading a little bit from the book of Colossians, and we're going to be in chapter 1. If you have your pew Bible, you're welcome to pull that out. We're going to read verse 6. I will tell you that I will be reading from the New Living Translation, which will be slightly different than what you have in your pew, and I'm doing that for a reason. There's a word that gets translated one of two ways. They can leave it in the churchy version, which is the word gospel. And we use that word in church a lot. We sing gospel songs or we talk about the gospel message. But it's a pretty churchy word, and maybe people outside of church don't understand or speak that language. So in the New Living, they say it a different way. They say the good news. And that's a word I think we all understand. You know, we go home at night, we turn on the evening news. I now realize that there's a lot more work that goes on behind the scenes than maybe I did before. And we watch that news, we watch the national news, we read the newspaper or flip on our phones, as Mike was saying, and we get the news. And there's a lot of good, and we're glad for people like Jeff who try to bring out the good stories. But man, it seems like there's a lot of bad news, doesn't it? And it seems like that dominates the airwaves and it dominates what we talk about. But we have really good news as people who believe in Jesus Christ, and we've had it ever since Jesus came and lived and died for us. We've had this message of hope. We've had this message of love. We've had this message of sacrifice. We've had this message of healing for the world. And from very early on, in the earliest days of the church took that command seriously to go to all nations and tell them the good news. And so people like the Apostle Paul set out on these missionary journeys, which were dangerous and hard, and he was away from home, sharing the good news of Jesus with everyone that he met. And he went to town after town, spreading this message. And he ended up in a place called Colossae, which is in Asia Minor, and it doesn't exist anymore. But he told people about Jesus, and the people there responded. They responded quickly and with great joy to the message that he had for them. They believed in Jesus, and their lives were changed. So I want to read from Colossians chapter 1. And I think this is really powerful, starting in verse 6. It says, "The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace." Now, Paul wrote this letter to this church, and he wrote lots of letters to lots of churches. A lot of times, his letters were not very positive. He was, frankly, not pleased with the things that were going on in those various churches. At times, he was upset because he heard reports that they were fighting with each other, that there was bickering and even hatred going on in those churches. And so he would write and say that that is not okay, brothers, that we need to work toward peace and unity in our churches. There were other times that he was upset that churches had become stale or lukewarm in their faith. And he said, that's not okay, that we need to continue to spur ourselves on and each other toward following Jesus with our whole hearts and as passionately as we can. But this is one of the few letters where Paul has very little negative to say. Paul is happy with the church. He is thrilled with the reports that their faith is vibrant and growing, that they accepted it with joy, and that it continues to be a major part of who they are and their identity. And yet, he says maybe they've become complacent and they've kept that good news to themselves. But Paul says that good news will go out all over the world and that it will affect people in the same way that church was affected. Now, many of us could sit up here, and we don't have a broadcasting testimony, but we have a testimony. We have a story about how Jesus came into our lives, maybe as a young child or a teenager, or maybe very recently. We learned about the good news of Jesus Christ, and we have been changed. And we would have a story to tell, similar to these men, that Jesus has affected us through the good times and the bad. And we have a powerful testimony of how Jesus has been our rock and our redeemer. And yet, isn't it easy, just like this church from 2,000 years ago, to keep that to ourselves? To know that our lives have been transformed, but not to tell people about it. Now, these gentlemen have a job. Their job is to tell the news. They get up very early in the morning, it turns out. They travel all over the world to do it. They tell us about the events. They tell us about the weather. They tell us about sports. It's an important job because we want to know what's going on in our world. And we trust them to tell us the truth. But we have a similar responsibility. We may not have a job in broadcasting, but we have a job. And our job is to tell the good news. We're supposed to tell it to our friends. We're supposed to tell it to our neighbors. We're supposed to tell it to our family members who may not yet know about the hope and the love and the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ. And that is not the responsibility of missionaries or pastors alone. That is the responsibility of the whole church. This church in Colossae wasn't doing it, at least not enough. They had learned about Jesus and it had filled their hearts, but they were keeping it to themselves. So I encourage you, brothers and sisters, not to do the same. And I know it's hard. And I know it's scary. It's scary for me to go out and to tell people about Jesus, but we have been given an opportunity, and maybe more than that, we have been given an obligation to find a way to share the good news with the whole world. And if we are willing, it says this, that same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. And isn't that what we want? Don't we want people to hear about the good news of Jesus and to be changed by it? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for boldness and courage. Just as the Apostle Paul had, just as so many have had over 2,000 years of church history, that you would have boldness and courage to share your faith, to tell people about the love and the hope that we have as Christians, about the good news, the gospel, that has been given to us, that we are instructed to pass on to others. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for our guests, our brothers in Christ, who have encouraged us and emboldened us with their faith stories. And Father, we have our own. We have our own story. Father, we pray that we would share it, that we would share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world around us, that we would tell without being ashamed about how Jesus has helped us through the good and the bad, how he has transformed and forgiven us. And that, Father, we would find ways and opportunities, that you would give us opportunities. You would give us a platform to share that with the people that we know, the people that who trust us, Father, that we could share with them the thing that matters most to us, that has given us life. Father, your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.